This morning is Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter, Mosaic. He is risen. Oh, that was weak. Happy Easter, Mosaic. He is risen. There we go. If there was ever a word that would be perfect to describe today and what we celebrate, it's the word victory. Everybody say that with me. Victory. Today is a day of victory. And that's exactly what Paul talks about in the passage that we're going to look at today, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at verse 50 through 58. This is a lengthy chapter. Paul has been laying out his argument for the resurrection. And we frequently celebrate the cross of Jesus. That's a great thing. We should celebrate the cross of Jesus because on the cross, Jesus dealt with our sin. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, paid for our sins. And that is a great day. Good Friday is a great day because Jesus dealt with our sin on the cross. He broke us free from the chains of our sin. He delivered us from the penalty of it. The resurrection is also a past reality that gives us hope, that gives us our resurrection. Jesus has conquered death. Anybody else excited about the fact that Jesus conquered death? Okay, just me. Okay. The resurrection points to a future. That is our future if we have trusted in Him, a resurrection. That's what it points to. But today, the passage that we're in shows us this word, victory. The big idea for today is this, is victory is ours through the resurrection. Victory is ours through the resurrection. Let's read the passage this morning together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. It will. It's going to happen. And the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Some of us are closer to that. We're excited for that. A new body, not an old body, not a fat body, not a too skinny body, but a new body. It's going to be amazing. When the perishable puts away the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. There's that word again. I couldn't get around it. I had to say our Easter sermon title is victory, right? It's there three times. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So Paul is laying out the most comprehensive argument for the resurrection in all of the Bible. 58 verses. This is like his thesis, his master's level course that he's putting in for us in the scriptures for us to understand the resurrection. And what he does here in these eight verses is he moves our gaze forward to our future victory. That's what he's doing. He's saying, hey, Mosaic, wake up. Get your heads up. There's a future victory that's coming, and it's possible. You can embrace it because of the resurrection of Jesus. So the question is, why does he do this? Maybe you're new with us. This is your first time here. We're glad that you joined us on Easter. Maybe it's your second time. We're glad you came back. Maybe it's your 100th time. We're glad you're here today. Either way, he's saying, get your heads up. See the beauty and majesty of the resurrection. And he does this because the Greeks had influenced the Corinthians. And they believed in salvation, but they did not believe in a physical, bodily resurrection. And so Paul is saying, hey, you have no problem believing in salvation, but you must believe in the resurrection because it's tied to your future victory. And so he wants us to think about this morning. Do you know that you will one day be resurrected? It's going to happen. If you are in Christ, the Bible refers to this as glory or glorification. You are going to be made new the way your body was supposed to be before sin wrecked this world. And he is saying you are going to be made right. You're going to be glorified. We're going to go from broken and hurting to glorified. So this morning we're going to see right from this text the truth that victory is ours through the resurrection. So how do we see this? Well, 50 through 53, we see our future requires victory. Your future requires victory. Look at what he says in verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Paul is speaking about a new home, a new kingdom, a new reality, a new place that we all are going to go if we are in Christ. If you are not, you will be eternally separated from this new kingdom. You will be a part of the kingdom of darkness. You will be separated from God eternally if you do not trust and believe in Him. But if you trust and believe in Jesus, you have a new reality waiting for you. A new kingdom that requires victory. The truth that Paul is trying to relate to us is this, that your new destination requires new equipment. It requires new equipment. Now, if you're going to go to a special place, it requires special equipment. If you're going to go to space, you need special equipment. You can't just go to space and rock your Christmas jacket and your Easter jacket. That's what me and Bill are rocking today, right? Bill wore that jacket on Christmas. I wore it on Christmas, and we're wearing it today for Easter, right? It's like married and buried jacket. That's what we do with this jacket, right? This is special equipment, right? But if you're going to go to space, you need a special suit. If you're going to dive to the depths of the ocean, you need special equipment. You need scuba gear that can perform for you underwater. But the reality is when we pass on, when we die, we will require special equipment. And the resurrection has provided it. It has taken us from what is perishable and hurting and like my low back today from bending over and digging holes and putting flowers in the ground with my daughter yesterday. It will one day no longer hurt. And I'll have the special equipment that I need to be in the presence of Jesus. And it's provided through the resurrection. See, special places require special equipment. And our present bodies, these physical bodies that are subject to disease and death and decay and decomposition, are one day going to go to a new place. And through the resurrection of Jesus, we will be given an incorruptible body to worship Jesus forever. So how can these bodies ever be suited for that place? Paul's answer is Jesus' resurrection. That's so important, Mosaic, because it's not something that you can do. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something that you can achieve or some level that you can attain. But it is only through the resurrection of Jesus that this is made possible. It's only through Jesus. You see, if you want to go to heaven, you can't get there on your own without being clothed in the righteousness of God. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin who knew no sin. Who is that he? That is Jesus. He became sin who knew no sin. Why? So that we could become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus clothes us in his righteousness through belief and trust in him. Just as Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, one day your physical body will have that victory. That's what he refers to as victory in this section. Now, we don't experience that victory now. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Some of us looked in it today for the first time, maybe all week, right? It's Easter Sunday. We had to get all dressed up, and we had to, like, actually take a shower. Like, that's our kids last night. Hey, you have to take a shower. Why? It's Easter tomorrow. So, right? It's amazing. For some of us, this is as good as it gets. There must be a change. There must be transformation. And that transformation will either be a physical resurrection or the return of our King Jesus. So we wait. Our future requires this victory. Verse 51, he says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." What's Paul saying here? How's this going to happen? How is this resurrection and this transformation going to happen? It's going to happen in a moment. I love this. Man, I was studying this week, and that word moment, listen to this. It's the Greek word atomos. It's where we get our word atom. Not Adam like A-D-A-M, but like Adam, like A-T-O-M, Adam. In the Greek, it means that it's something that cannot be divided, something that cannot be cut into two. It's the shortest possible amount of time. In other words, in the shortest amount of time, Jesus is going to come back, and those who are dead and who have gone before are going to rise again, and those who are alive are going to meet him together with him in the air. That word Adam, it's going to happen in a moment. But then he says, in a twinkling of an eye. It's not the blinking of an eye. That is 1/30th of a second. That's fast enough. But Paul says it's in a twinkling of an eye. That's 1/6th of a nanosecond. It's the time it takes for light to go from the retina of the eye, from the iris, for light to travel between those two pieces in your eye. It's 1/6th of a nanosecond. Just like that, Jesus can come back and return. And then he says, where is this all going to take place? At the last trumpet. That trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ will be raised. Here's the deal. Your future has been secured. That eternal destination, that new body is made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus. A new resurrected body that has been made possible through the victorious resurrection of Christ. Paul goes on to say this, not only does our future require victory, but he goes Old Testament. And he quotes two passages in verse 54 and 55, and he says that Scripture promises our victory. You see, this victory's been promised long ago, long before even the shepherds showed up at the manger scene in Bethlehem, long before the wise men made their travels afar to bring their gifts. That long before this, Hosea and Isaiah speak about this victory, this one day victory. You see, death is our enemy. But using texts from Isaiah and Hosea, Paul predicts that death will be defeated. You see, Easter is so significant because it's not just about what happened to Jesus and that he rose from the dead. It's that he fulfilled the promise that has been promised long ago, that the prophecies were fulfilled. Listen to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah says this, "He will swallow up death forever. The Lord will wipe away tears from all faces." How about Hosea chapter 13? The text says this, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." You see, Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament is promising this. Death will be defeated. It will be defeated. It is going to end. He is going to destroy death. And look at verse 55. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Paul, in verse 55, is simply taunting. He's saying, "Death, what you got? No victory here. You can't win. You will not defeat me because death is powerless. Dying holds no dread. The grave holds no grief for those who are in Christ Jesus." Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. So we see our future requires a victory. The Scriptures promise our victory. And number three, the present battles point to our victory. Look at verse 56 through 57. "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, the present battles point to our victory. They point to them. Those who know hope of Christ don't fear death. We should never fear death if we are in Christ. The one thing that makes people afraid to die is ultimately their consciousness of unforgiven sin. See, that's what gives death its sting. Because we realize in that moment, it might be our last moment, that death, if we have not trusted in Jesus, if that's you here today, death still has its sting. This victory that we talk about is not yours, but you don't have to leave here today without victory. You can leave here today in full victory. You see, the non-believer says this, "What if, in that last moment, what if Jesus is the true God? What if those Christians were right? What if God is real? What if?" See, apart from Christ, death has the biggest sting. Paul alludes to this because he says this, "The strength of sin is the law." What's he saying? He's saying this, that the law simply reveals to you that you're not enough. And it simply shows you that death has sting because you cannot overcome your sin. We know that the law of Moses came along, and when it came along with all the do's and the don'ts and the Ten Commandments, that it didn't help our problem. It simply revealed our incapability of fulfilling. is a spotlight that shines on every form. You can't. You're not good enough. The mirror is in front of you. When you stand in front of the law and you get a true picture for who you really are. Incapable. Full of flaws. But as Christians, we experience the unique battles of the flesh against the spirit. But we struggle anticipating our victory. Why? Because Jesus promised eternal life not to those who could keep the law and fulfill the law, but to those who have trusted in the one who was the only one capable of fulfilling the law. That's Jesus. Jesus is the only person who ever came, who ever lived, who perfectly completed the law, who perfectly fulfilled the law. And Jesus says to all of those who have sinned and fallen and failed, yes, you have fallen. Yes, you have failed. But if you will trust and believe in me, this victory is yours. His victory is yours. Now, everyone in this room wants to win. Everyone. You might not be a very competitive person, but when you play a game, you want to win. And Jesus says through the Apostle Paul right here, if you want to win ultimately, if you want this victory, it's trust and dependence and belief in Christ alone. Look at what he says in the next phrase. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Mosaic, it is worth celebrating today. It is worth standing and putting our hands together. It is worth lifting our hands up in worship. It is worth getting up early and telling our friends and family that we're going to church to celebrate Jesus. Why? Because he has made us winners. He has made us victorious because he got up out of the grave. It's worth celebrating this morning. This confidence comes through Christ. And ultimately what Paul is saying is death has been defanged. The claws of death have been cut off. Whenever death is defanged, we know that it's because of Jesus. My friend Matt recently lost his dad. And I remember the day that he passed on, my friend texted me this. He says, it's new body time. And he told me when we were at his memorial service that his dad, a couple weeks before he passed, they knew that none of the treatments were going to work. And he was in his hospital room and he's sharing Christ with all the nurses and all the doctors. And they basically said, Bob, we can't do dialysis because your heart's not strong enough. And we can't do the procedure on your heart because your kidneys aren't strong enough. Basically, there's nothing left for us to do. And he said, he looked right at the doctor with no reservations, and he said, I'm done. I'm ready to go. And then it was like this moment, this human moment where he realized his wife was sick. And he just turns and looks at Sandy and he says, you good with that? And she said, if you are. And he's like, then turn everything off. Turn everything off. I'm ready for my new body. I'm ready for my new home. I'm ready to be in the presence of Jesus. And he's like, and you should be ready for that too. He starts witnessing to the doctor. Where does that kind of confidence come from, Mosaic? It only comes through Jesus. It only comes through him. And that's exactly how he concludes this passage. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In that moment, Bob knew that. He was immovable. He was steadfast. He knew that when that moment came, that when the doctor said there was nothing else they could do, there was nothing else that was going to help. He knew in that moment that he was steadfast. He was immovable. He was going to abound in the work of the Lord, even in that last moment. Why? Because the confidence doesn't come from Bob. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me. It comes from Jesus Christ alone, who motivates us to be steadfast, to be immovable. You see, Jesus Christ rose from the dead in the past, and he will return for his people in the future. And in the present, our life is motivated by victory. That's why we're here today. You'd be like, man, I don't know why somebody invited me here. And that guy's like sweating up there and screaming and yelling and all that stuff. And they got his mic turned up too much because he's just like way up here. And Joel tested it. And Joel's like way down here, right? It's like, why do they do this? We do this every week. I don't yell like this every week. I definitely don't put this suit coat on every week. But we celebrate a resurrected Lord every week. Because he got up from the grave. He saved us. Yes, you can clap your hands. Yes, we can stand up. Jesus rose from the dead. And so if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus, I don't know what else would convince you. I don't know what else would convince you of this victory, other than the fact that God might just have to knock you down and open up your eyes supernaturally. Because I don't know about you, I don't feel victorious. This body doesn't. But through Jesus Christ, it does. Because he was buried and he rose from the dead. It's amazing. This week I was doing a membership interview for JR and Allie. And they're going to be new members. I told them I was going to announce it next week. But they're new members and they signed our covenant. We're super thankful for that. But in the midst of that, Allie began to share her testimony, and she said, basically, she grew up and they would go to church on Christmas and Easter. And she said, Easter was just weird to me. And I was like, why was it weird? She said, I'd go to church when I was a kid, and the first Sunday we'd go would be Christmas, and they'd be like, this baby was born. And then I'd come back on Easter, and they'd be like, this guy was crucified. And she was like, what did he do? Like, what did he do so bad that the people would kill him? And then these people are celebrating that he rose from the dead. It felt disconnected, right? It felt disconnected because of Jesus' life. All of his life is recorded throughout the Gospels. And week after week, we come and tell the whole story of Jesus so that everyone will know he didn't just come and be born as a baby, right? He didn't just come and die. He didn't just come and raise from the dead. Those are all great things. But Jesus also lived the life that you could not live. He lived the life that you could not live, which is perfection. And you might be here today and you're like, why should I trust in Jesus? Because you're not perfect. You can't live that perfect life. So Jesus lived it for you. And Jesus died the death that you could not die on your own behalf, because you couldn't die a perfect, sinless Savior. So he did that for you too. And we are perishable people, incapable of rising ourselves from the dead. So he did that for you too. He was put in the grave and he rose from the dead, guaranteeing your resurrection if you have hope and belief in it. Why you would leave here today not trusting in this Jesus. In just a few moments, we're going to celebrate this meal, this Passover meal, this picture, this communion, whatever term that you're comfortable with. We're going to celebrate this meal, and it's a picture of what Jesus did for us on that Good Friday, that his blood was shed for us, that his body was broken for us. But it's so amazing to do this on Easter because We do it looking forward to the fact that the resurrected Lord is one day going to come back and take us home to be with Him, to celebrate this meal forever with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. That He's going to celebrate this for all of eternity because He is guaranteed our victory. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you can't say that this victory is yours, because you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior. If you're in this room or you're watching online and you say, this morning I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus for the very first time. I've never done that before. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer, trusting in Jesus. There's nothing special about these words. You just simply need to believe them from the depths of your heart and put all of your faith solely in Jesus. Say something like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from you because of that sin. Jesus, I believe that you lived a perfect life, the life I could not live. I believe that you died for my sin. You paid the price for my sin. And Jesus, I believe that you were buried and you rose from the dead. So this morning, I ask you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, be my Savior, and to be my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sin and giving me the promise of victory.